Cleve Jones has been an LGBT activist for over 30 years, including working with activist Harvey Milk and conceiving the idea of the AIDS Memorial Quilt. He now serves on the subcommittee for labor outreach for the National Equality March taking place next month, October 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C. Hi, Cleve.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Tell us about the National Equality March.
Yes, we're marching on Washington. It's the first march since 2000. And unlike previous marches, this march has one demand and one demand only. We're marching for equal protection under the law in all matters governed by civil law in all 50 states, period. And, you know, I start out with talking about the demand because I think it's very important. This march is not just a chance to vent our frustration or demonstrate our determination. We're really, really trying very hard to change the strategy of the overall struggle for equality. I'm sure that, you know, most of your listeners are aware that there's a fight going on in Maine right now, a very likely battle in Washington State. Here in California, where I live, we're contemplating whether to take Prop 8 to the ballot for repeal in 2010 or 2012. All of these continuing statewide battles just underscore the reality that true equality can only come from the federal government. And that's really not a matter of opinion, that's a matter of fact. The most important rights that are granted through to heterosexuals through marriage are those determined by the federal government, not the states. So those of us who are working so hard to make this march happen do so because we believe we have to refocus the movement on the federal level, on the United States Congress, the United States Supreme Court, and of course, President Obama.
I understand you've asked Obama to speak at the mall rally. Has the Obama administration responded to your request?
Not yet. We are speaking with a number of people in the administration, and of course we are inviting the president to speak. I don't know if he'll be able to do that or not, but it certainly would be historic. And I think that, you know, our feeling is that he made some pretty unequivocal promises to the community. Those promises have not yet been met. There is increasing frustration and concern about the depth of that commitment. So I hope that he will respond. I hope that he will show up and speak to our community.
Who will be speaking in Washington? What activists and celebrities are attending?
We're very proud to have Julian Bond, the president of the NAACP and an amazing hero of the civil rights movement. We also have Matthew Shepard's mom, Judy Shepard, Dustin Lance Black, who wrote the film Milk. We have Lieutenant Dan Choi, who's become a really remarkable spokesperson for the effort to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell, another example of why we need federal action. The states can't do anything about the absurd policy in the military. And we also have Urvashi Vaad and a number of others and some surprises. I think it's going to be very exciting. I want to be clear, though, that this is not, you know, previous marches have been sort of Lollapalooza affairs with multiple stages and entertainment. We are not focusing on entertainment. There will be some music, of course, but this is a weekend that's about getting serious about political organizing. So we've been discouraging the party producers. This is not a circuit party. This is a time to really focus on equality.
What do you hope to accomplish with the National Equality March?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's really about changing the strategy. We have been fighting for 40 years now on a state-by-state, county-by-county, city-by-city approach. And, you know, it's a fake strategy, and that we say that with no disrespect to those of us who have been pursuing that strategy. We all have. We had no choice. That was a time in our history when limited rights could only be gained in very limited areas, college towns, for example, like Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin, and liberal cities like San Francisco and West Hollywood. But we think that the public opinion has really shifted dramatically in our favor. We think for the younger generation, the issue of LGBT rights is really non-controversial and sort of a no-brainer. cleaner in many ways. And we think that just the reality of the way our government is structured requires us to do this. So, you know, there's another important part of this which has to do with votes in Congress. Many people think that the president can just sign a proclamation and suddenly we're equal. It doesn't work that way. We need congressional action. And when we have people like Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank, who are most clearly on our side, telling us that we don't have the vote, we need to do something about that. If we want the president to expend political capital on our behalf, we need to demonstrate quite clearly that we're willing to do that hard work in all 435 congressional districts. So we want to march, we want to focus on federal action, we want to leave there energized and educated about how to do this work, and we want to send people home to all 435 congressional districts to lobby the heck out of their representatives.
What is your aspirations for our community in the Obama administration?
I believe that we have an historic opportunity to achieve actual full equality under the law. We're entitled to this. It's granted to us by the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. If your listeners don't know what that is, they should look it up and read it, because there's a clause in the United States Constitution that says there's only one class of citizenship in this country. We are all entitled to equal protection under the law. So that's my hope and my dream. I'm going to be 55 soon. I've been involved in this work since I was a teenager. I've seen incredible progress. I always tell young people, don't ever believe that change is not possible. And I think that Barack Obama's election has shown millions of us that real change is, in fact, possible in this country. And I'm hoping it come true for us, and sooner rather than later.
What do you think about gay marriage in 6 states? We know that a few states are just hanging on, but we're celebrating 5 years of gay marriage here in Massachusetts. So what do you think about what's been going on in the last 5 years?
I think the focus on marriage equality has been very interesting, and, you know, in some respects, I think this is grounded really in our experience with the HIV pandemic. I don't remember there ever being such a focus on marriage equality before. In the 70s, for example, it was something that I don't remember being really discussed at all. But I think that after our experience with the pandemic, there was sort of a general feeling within the community that, you know, how dare you not acknowledge our relationships? After what we've been through, the people we've cared for, the suffering we've endured, I think that kind of set the groundwork. There are some things that disturb me about the focus on marriage equality. And in Massachusetts, for example, you know, you're still second-class citizen. You can't access your partner's Social Security. I heard recently from a lesbian couple who happened to live here in California and were married here in California during that window. They're one of the 18,000 couples that did manage to get married, but they have children with special needs. And when they travel, as they both must travel for work to stay connected with their families, but when these women travel with their children, they have to pay attention to the laws in every state that they visit or pass through, because should one of their children require medical attention, which is a frequent occurrence, they need to be in a state where the non-birth mother's relationship to the child is acknowledged. So it's not just symbolic. I think here in California, there's a very, you know, there's sort of an unfortunate tendency to focus on this, on the more sentimental, symbolic reasons for fighting for marriage equality. But there's really substantial rights and privileges that are granted to people as a result of that status. We want equality, but we want real equality. And it concerns me when you hear these campaigns being waged and people say that they're fighting for equality, but equality cannot be granted by the states. Here in California, same-sex couples enjoy all of the rights that the state can grant them. That's due to the domestic partners legislation that was carried by people like former state Senator Carol Migdon. And yet, you know, we're preparing for the reality of raising another $40, $50 million to go back on the ballot. That ping-pong game with our rights is going to continue indefinitely until we get decisive, unequivocal action from the federal government.
I agree. What's your spin on the future of Prop 8 in California?
Some people feel very strongly that we should go back on the ballot in 2010. back on the ballot in 2012. I think the great majority of the people hold no opinion on it, and I haven't seen any evidence that one year is better than the other. There's some pretty interesting arguments on both sides. But one thing that is not being discussed, and I find it kind of disturbing, in the summit meetings that are going on up and down the state where people are debating between the 2 years, there's really no discussion of the federal lawsuit that is proceeding forward with the counsel, Ted Olson and David Boies, the two men who squared off in the Florida recount case before the Supreme Court. And that's kind of interesting. I think it's an example of how deeply invested people are in the old strategy of fighting state by state and county by county. I think part of it is people just can't imagine winning. But I think that also there's kind of an inertia that prevents us from thinking boldly. All of the big national LGBT groups opposed the federal lawsuit. Then when they saw it was moving forward, they tried to get in on the action and were rebuffed. But there's very little conversation about it. I think it's one of the most exciting developments of recent history. If we win that case, and I believe it's possible to win at the U.S. Supreme Court, that doesn't just overturn Prop 8. That overturns the entire Defense of Marriage Act and all of the state constitutional amendments that have been passed prohibiting same-sex marriage. So here we've got this profoundly important federal lawsuit moving forward, but in the summit meetings in California around Prop 8, there's really no discussion of the lawsuit.
You know, the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, GLAAD, and Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley have both filed federal challenges to the constitutionality of DOMA. What's your reaction to this?
I think that that makes sense. That we have got our case in California. There's no way, and in my opinion, no reason for preventing additional challenges in federal court. I think it makes sense. And I just keep hammering away at this at every opportunity that we have to continue to act locally, but we really need to now start thinking federally. And people who don't get that, I think, really need to rethink their position. Without federal action, we're just going to see this drag out forever and ever and ever. And frankly, that is the position of some of our leadership. And again, I offer this criticism with deep respect and affection for all of the people who have been doing this work. But times have changed, and we need new leaders, and we need new strategy. The folks that are really focusing on marriage equality, for example, many of them subscribe to the belief that we should not go to Congress until 30 states have approved same-sex marriages. What they're looking for is what they call the 10-10-10 strategy. They want, before going to Congress, they want 10 states to have approved same-sex marriage by a vote of the people. They want 10 states to have approved same-sex marriage through court action, and 10 states to achieve it through legislative action. Now, when you question these people on how long that's going to take, you know, the honest answer is 20, 25, 30 years, who knows? And there's also this sort of another idea out there that I find very, very disturbing. And I hear it from particularly people my own age in their 50s and people in their 40s who will say, well, shouldn't we just relax and let it happen? There's this notion out there that there's sort of this natural, inevitable progression towards more equality, towards more sensible policies on these issues. That is a mistaken impression, and people who hold that view really ought to read more history. The winds blow from the left and the right, and change comes from both the left and the right. And really, you only need to look back as far as 9/11 to see how quickly people in this country have been able to give up cherished rights, like, for example, habeas corpus. So, you know, don't think that things are just naturally going to progress to a point of equality. It will require enormous work, real focused work, and yes, lots of money, But I think a federal approach will ultimately end up being much less draining of our resources. But also, I'm tired of this view being expressed by people that there is some finite amount of money available to us, that there's some finite number of volunteers that are available to do this work. Movements are required to grow. If they do not grow, they wither and die. So part of what we're trying to do with this march is to capture and encourage the energy of young people and really broaden the ranks. Then there's those who say, oh, a march doesn't accomplish anything. Well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. A march by itself is not going to move us forward necessarily any more than writing a letter is going to move us forward necessarily, or writing a check to a politician who's going to vote correctly. But if you do all of these things, and if you repeat them and do them over and over and over, it does make a difference. And when you talk to people who've attended previous marches, many of them describe that as being one of the most energizing and important events of their lives. So marches do make a difference. People who say they don't are simply mistaken.
How can people get information about the National Equality March?
Our website is nationalequalitymarch.org. The network that we've set up to coordinate this is called Equality Across America. The main event is Sunday, October 11th, National Coming Out Day, and the 30th anniversary of the very first march for lesbian and gay rights. So I really hope everybody that hears this will plan on being there. I think it's going to be a very important milestone in the history of our struggle for equality.